Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Julie Mad Blogger Show. Tonight we have an awesome guest on, calling all the way from the UK. Daryl is here to talk to us about PSSD, which is sexual dysfunction that can come from psych drugs. Daryl, I'm putting you on. Are you there?
Hi, Julie.
Hi. How are you doing?
It's okay. How are you? Thanks
okay.
for having me on.
Okay here. Everything's all okay here. Because we're going to expose them. It has been well known that the SSRI and other psych drugs cause sexual inhibition, but if you ask your doctor about this, he or she is likely to tell you it's a minor annoyance. However, both men and women are reporting complete numbness and total inability to function sexually. Even worse, the condition now called PSSD, and Daryl, you have to tell us what that stands for, is almost often permanent. Since this effect is so devastating and can be embarrassing to talk about, it is grossly underreported. Daryl joins us tonight to discuss his own experience and the data he continues to collect. He has experienced retaliation as a whistleblower also. By the way, listeners should be aware, we will not shy away nor skirt around this difficult topic. Rather, we will discuss the situation openly and frankly. I think that's the only way it can be discussed. Therefore, it may not be appropriate for children to hear. This is a tough but vital issue. So, Daryl, what does PSSD stand for?
Well, simply put, it's a acronym, a term for post-SSRI sexual dysfunction.
Specifically the SSRIs.
Well, it was termed from the SSRIs. But that's because more people take SSRIs than antipsychotics, which also do the same thing. So I and other people now use the term to describe it from both drugs.
Yes.
Although that's where
and
the term comes from,
I'm,
and that's what we
I'm,
use.
Where does the term
well,
come from? Where does the term come from?
I'm not quite sure. There's been some people started talking about it and naming it on the internet. It's not officially recognized as something that's existing, but people put a name to it at some point on the whether it be on the internet. And there's been some people, ex-professionals that have put professionals that have put a name to it. I'm not quite sure who first put the name to it, but it used to be called. There's been other names for it, as you know, and there still are other names for it.
Of course. It seems as because it's called a disorder, I'm wondering if they're trying to shove it into, well, the establishment is trying to shove it into the psych category, which is typical, isn't it?
Yeah. The mental health industry has recategorized their damage of chemically castrating their patients, their customers, as they will just diagnose other names for it. PSSD is probably a name unwitting patient or possibly someone that works in mental health came up with.
I see. So this was coined by people who are against the drugs and recognized that it was from the drugs and realized it had to have its own name.
Yeah. People that want it to be recognized officially, that recognize that it's from the drugs, be they people that work in that industry themselves or people that have been given chemical castration, which is what the UK criminal prosecution service that deal with paedophiles call it chemical castration, and newspapers have called it chemical castration.
They do the fact that they do this to pedophiles is right in the papers.
Yes, the UK government, I'm not sure at what point they started doing this, but it was so well thought of at causing sexual dysfunction and chemical castration that they use antipsychotics and antidepressants in the UK to chemically castrate paedophiles. And this is in newspapers, this is in NHS I'm not sure when it started happening, but it's been over a decade probably, since I saw articles on it, and your doctor will not tell you about it. He'll just give you
no.
the drug.
Let's back up and let's talk about when you first got it, because I think there are people out in the audience very concerned it might happen to them. So what age were you when you were first given SSRI and other drugs?
Right, I was 9 years old when I was given antipsychotics and antidepressants as a combination.
Oh, that's awful. That's just insane. Who would do that? Oh, my God. 9 years old. Were you on these drugs for a long time before you started noticing sexual dysfunction?
I had no idea what was going on with my body because it was still forming. So it was affecting me sexually, but I had no idea what, because my sexuality was still forming. I had no idea what a sexuality was or how it was, what was supposed to happen normally. But by the time I was 21, I just got very sick and my genitals went numb, which means from being, they were working and I could feel them. They were normal up until that point. Although they may have they were normal up until that point.
They were normal up to that point. And then at 21, were you still on the drugs at the time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the withdrawal, I went for blood tests at the GPs because originally the psychiatrist at the local mental health place said that he had heard of it and he thinks it's the drugs, but go get a blood test just to be sure. So I went to the local general doctor to get a blood test, and my blood test came back really messed up. And so they agreed it was the drugs, and then they said come off them. And then I also had a withdrawal, a very prolonged addiction withdrawal coming off them, and my genitals have stayed numb. They have not come back to me.
And how old are you now?
Now I'm 27. I'm soon to be 28. So
we're talking 7 years almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So you have interviewed a lot of people, and reading those interviews, it's just heartbreaking what happens to people, the way they're not told and everything. What is the age range of the people that you have interviewed? I noticed Daryl has interviewed both men and women who have been affected by this.
Yeah, I've interviewed a number of people. The age ranges that I've interviewed people have been, have got it from, were given the chemical castration from between 15 when they got it and, actually up up all the age ranges, but most of them have been young people. I don't know whether that's because they use the internet or because chemical castration is more likely to affect someone formally developing through their developing stages of growing into an adult, the hormonal changes that are supposed to happen normally anyway. But yeah, from 15 to any age, but mostly the most people I've interviewed have been between 18 and 22 kind of thing.
Well, that is the age they drug people.
It's easier to drug them at the prime
of your life. And this is the sexual prime of people. Why do you think this is so covered up?
Well, it's a huge cartel, a huge drugs business, and they don't want to let anybody get in the way of that. And they act like psychopathic criminals, the people carrying out the drug dealing, drug pushing, and the farcical around their business that they call mental health.
Well, it's such gross malpractice. The fact that is, when they re-diagnose you with some other thing, it's nothing but covering up, lying, and covering their butts.
Yeah, you'd be surprised when this happens to you, the lengths they're willing to go to add further insult to injury. You won't get an apology. It's not acknowledged or recognized. And then they'll, full well knowing that it's the drugs that caused it, they'll sit right in front of your face and make up new imaginary psychiatric diagnoses which people voted on in the last 2 years that never even existed before 2 years ago. Because, you know, they vote on what psychiatric diagnoses should exist or not, so they make up new ones all the time. So one of the popular ones at the moment, which the governments around the world seem to be really loving too, because they can filter their health services into just putting everybody on these drugs and not actually bothering to investigate people for physical problems anyway. They can just chuck them on everybody on psychiatric drugs instead of going to hospital or A&E or seeing doctors that have more medical speciality than all the psychiatric rubbish.
I'm wondering, this is grossly underreported. Can we even guess how many people are affected compared to the number that have come out and stated, at least to you, that this has happened? I mean, people aren't going to go to their doctors necessarily, more likely to go to their friends and fess up, but some people probably hold the secret inside of them and never tell anyone.
Yeah, well, it's so shameful that most people, I imagine, many people will take their lives and never tell a soul. Especially if you're a man, that's like the most degrading thing you could probably do to a man. So there is probably many people that have not told anyone and just taken their lives.
I'm wondering, do we know of any cases of any suicides that happened because of this?
Yes, there's been recorded cases of kids trying to take their own lives because the first time they try to have sex or anything like that, they've got numb genitals. And there's Peter Gottsche of the Danish drug study Cochrane Center. They do some studies. He's talked about that. And then there's been other recorded cases. And there's been somebody on the internet that left a suicide note that was put in the local paper. And he talked about PTSD. And he left a BSSD suicide note, and he was 28. His name was Kevin Goodrue.
Mm-hmm. Is this somebody in the UK?
No, I think he's in possibly America or Canada.
Mm-hmm. Okay, North America, yeah. Hmm.
Most people don't leave notes.
Can I ask, how has this affected other areas of your life? It certainly affected your sex life, your ability to have romance. So how has it affected other areas?
It's over time, it's actually got worse and worse when you've been stripped of your own identity. And for a man, that's the most primal thing, the most orientated thing about a man. Men are animals and are designed to think about procreation all the time. That's just how men are designed to think, despite us being civilized beings. So it's absolutely destroyed my dignity, my social life. It's so scary. One of my friends hugged me the other day that I hadn't seen in ages, and my genitals were numb. So it's like being in a horror movie and there's no way out. It is a living hell that isn't hell. So it's gradually changed me over time more and more.
I'm wondering also, when I was, back when I was young, your age, well, even younger actually, I was very into feminism, and there was this saying, I think it was a bumper sticker, I don't think I ever put it on my car, but it said, castrate rapists. And somebody argued with me saying, you know, that's not going to stop them from raping, but it's an awfully cruel thing to do also. I mean, it's just not a humane, I mean, it's not even punishment, it's torture.
Yeah, it is. That's how most people that I've interviewed has described it, as torture. So I don't think it's something that is unique to the way I experience it.
Yeah. So what would you suggest if somebody is saying, oh, I really need this Prozac or Paxil or any of those SSRI drugs, what would you say to that person? Let's say this is a young man, 19 years old, who's been experiencing depression. What would you tell that young man? Let's say it's yourself at, say, 15 or so, when you're embarking on adulthood. What would you tell that young person who is still taking those SSRIs?
It's important to know that your doctors should tell you, and should tell that 15-year-old child, that the drug regulators are run and funded by the drug companies. So it's going to be approved. Your drugs are being approved by the drug companies. Also, additionally, the doctor should tell you that it's prescribing it, that it's used to chemically castrate paedophiles and sex offenders. And if you're okay with those things, then you can't go back once you've got certain damage. But I mean, if that isn't enough to put you off, then, to be frank, that should put you off.
Your mission to expose this has, of course, if men all over the world, and women too, knew that this could happen to them and that it's underreported, and say this were publicized, which is what I believe you're trying to do, and just warn people. If people were properly warned, do you think anybody would go on these drugs? Very few, huh?
No, very few people, if anybody, would do that to themselves or their child. No, I really don't think. I think it would, if they are, it, if things even just got reported, which doesn't happen. People die all the time, and it, I think it's Peter Breggins talks about how he represents people in trials that have died from these drugs killing them. And even when it's gone to trial and the drug company have paid up and been guilty, they still, it still doesn't get reported to the so-called drug regulation agencies. So I don't think anyone would. I mean, they, sales took a dip when they had to put the suicidal and homicidal behavior on the leaflets of the drugs. For a little, for a while, the drugs took a little dip in sales. So if they also, if they also have to say that they're used to chemically castrate sex offenders, and drug regulators regulate themselves through the drug companies, and you the chemical castration effects can be permanent, and you got six, like around in a study of thousands of people, 60% of people get chemically castrated while they're on the drugs, and the numbers that stay chemically castrated afterwards are unknown, but the through this amount that reported to the UK MHRA agency, drug regulating agency, it's over 20% of that. So you can read between the lines on that and realize that no one would take them. You wouldn't do it to your enemy, as you say. There's an ethical debate that people have about giving them to pedophiles, whether that's ethical. So if you're going to not tell children that, that's a high risk, could doing that to a child, and you'd have more ethical rights for a pedophile, then no, I don't think anyone would take them.
No, no, I don't think anyone would.
They'd go out of business overnight.
Yeah, I know Risperdal of the antipsychotics is, and neuroleptics rather, is notorious for doing this. It also causes hormone imbalances in women that are so severe that you end up with osteoporosis, and that's what happened to me. But I also noticed, along with that, but when it stops your periods, of course, it messes up your hormones, and that's why men grow breasts. But it is notorious for causing sexual dysfunction of all the antipsychotics. It's probably the one that's most well known. But I've heard also Clozaril can do it too.
Yeah, they're all the so-called class of antipsychotics and antidepressants have a high risk of doing, this is what they do. This is one of the most likely things they do. It's almost like somebody had planned it on purpose.
Yeah, because to get rid of all the mental patients on the planet. Very gradually, and we're not going to reproduce, and we're going to kill ourselves. That's what a great way to do it, and then lie and say you're not doing it.
Yeah, they've killed way many more people than they ever managed to kill before by not being so nice. They can be very nice and come across very nice and groom you or whatever, but they're killing way more many people than they ever have, and it's very effective at stopping reproduction, especially in men. If you add up the adverse effects with weight gain, growing breasts, numb genitals that don't get aroused even if you try, dribbling. Most people, someone was joking the other day that the men in mental health, none of them have children. And it messes up women's hormones and does the same thing. So it's very effective because it's such a large scale.
Yeah, the drugs are known to affect the fetus.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know how they can live with doing that to unborn children. But the drugs definitely affect people in the fetus. In fact, PSSD, chemical castration, actually affects rats. They produce PSSD in rats, in neonatal rats, rats in the womb. So it's not anything to do with depression or any new psychiatric diagnosis they can make up, because these are standard lab rats that they're giving PSSD to in the womb. Even though you're
so they are born with sexual dysfunction.
Yeah, and they don't mate as much and they die out. Yeah.
In the womb. Oh my God.
So it's doing the same thing when they give it to children and adults and pregnant mums. And nobody knows. Nobody's bothered to, for obvious reasons. It's silence, people don't talk about, and nobody's bothered to track or follow up what's going on. So I guess some people have realized, well, some kids have thought, am I just asexual or whatever? And who knows? It's an unknown, but there's some sick and dastardly people that are comfortably plotting, carrying this out, or spreading it. Or otherwise, your general psychopathic doctor that surely should know some of these things that won't tell you, that would push drugs on you like a psychopath.
Losing interest in sex has been a known side effect, and that one people talk about a little. But when it comes to the technicalities, no one wants to talk about it, including doctors. Do you think a doctor should? And I mean, in my opinion, a doctor should just come out and say, "How's your sex life? How's your sex life?" And I was in psychiatry 34 years, and very rarely did any of these doctors or therapists ever ask me about my sex life.
They never do. It would get in the way of their business
and
their career.
They assume you're asexual. Go ahead.
Yeah, especially in inpatients, they just assume they're asexual, whatever. They don't care. I mean, it's their career. They get a lot of money, and they're not going to let anything get in the way of that. They've demonstrated that they're willing to psychopathically murder and injure people with a caring smile on their face all day, every day.
And they never get nails. They never
diplomatic immunity.
Half the time they don't even make it into the courtroom.
No way.
They're considered the expert. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
They've got license to carry it out on behalf of the state.
I want to know.
But it's
pretty
rich to cut someone else's dick off and then say, "Oh, it's not a big deal," or "How dare you talk to me about it?" or. Flat out lie in front of their face and say it's some made up new psychiatric disease that I've made up in the last year. But it's because it's the origin of the damage is fairly unknown. It doesn't just affect you. It doesn't just chemically castrate you. Obviously, it causes other damages. And one thing that most people with PSSD talk about is the emotional numbing that may be related in damage, or that seems to come with the damage of numb genital chemical castration.
Is that in both men and women?
Yeah. I mean, women might be more likely to notice emotional numbing, that they might think they're depressed or something, but the drugs cause emotional numbing and stuff. Obviously, for a man, especially young men, it's quite a big deal when you walk around as an animal, like you should as a man, with erections all the time that happen at random times throughout the day, like 30-40 times a day, and then your genitals go numb, the centerpiece of your world that you orientate with. That might be more noticeable to a man. But for women, that's not necessarily something that's required, or they notice as much, and women have more hormonal cycles. Numb genitals might not necessarily be as recognizable or even as big a deal to women. It's not necessary for
women.
I
have heard that nobody wants to talk about it, for one thing, and we're never asked about it. It's always assumed that we don't have a sex life, that we just don't have sex because we're not capable of deep feelings toward another person. I've had so many therapists and doctors just skirt away from the topic. They won't ask about it. Sometimes they don't, you know, they won't, certainly won't ask about your periods, or a male doctor won't ask, do you get your periods, or I had one ask me if I used birth control, but that's as far as they go. They don't ask you how your sex desire is, or if it's going as it should, or if you're having any sexual problems. They just won't come out and ask those questions.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of psychologists or so-called mental health professionals, because they're there purely to serve the drugs industry, the industry as a whole. But some of them do some studies or come up with some ideas or whatever. And one of them that runs Psych Central, which is .com or something, which is like one of the biggest,
mental
health
places. Yes, I know about that one,
places.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's the psychologist there. He wrote an article called John Grohol. He wrote an article on, well, that he says that, yeah, like you say, the easy way that they could record that information without being suggestive is just simply asking, how is your sex life, or something like what you said. But that they could easily do that. But he says, like you just said, but yeah, of course they don't do that. It would get in the way of business if they knew the truth. They don't want the truth to... Truth would get in the way of business, but killing and maiming people and chemically castrating them for a business is utterly sick, and they should face punishment.
I'm wondering also if they don't ask these very human questions, because we're not human to them. We're not considered human. We're a subclass, inferior.
Yeah.
Have you also?
I'll never be able to escape that now, which is, and other people, obviously not just me, but I will. Yeah, seeing as it happened to me, I will never be able to escape that now. I can run to the other side of the world. I could go to Mars, and it can't change the fact that now they've maimed me, and I can't escape that.
So, I want to ask, if they're doing this, and you have spoken out about it, they've tried to stop you, in what ways?
Well, if you go to any other doctor, or urologist, or whatever, they'll say, see the psychiatrist. Psychiatric drugs are completely safe, and they completely leave your system, and they're harmless. And if you see the psychiatrist, they'll make up a new mental disease and tell all your family not to believe you, and try and get them to believe that you have a new made up mental crazy disease that doesn't exist. And if you try and talk about it to the brainwashed public, they'll tell you to shut up. You're killing people by telling, you're dangerous and killing people by criticizing drugs, by saying anything negative about drugs. And if you go, and on the I've been banned from every charity that they get, have charitable status, that call themselves mental health charities. And obviously, you might be aware that they're just drug pushers, but nonetheless, they are charities given charitable status by our government, and they're supposed to be providing some sort of service that other than just drugs pushing. And they're not meant to discriminate and ban people, but I just simply share what's my so-called mental health experience, the lived experience, which they claim they want, and the interviews with me and other lived experiences, and I get banned and discriminated and shut out. So people will never even know, because I can't even tell people. On the internet, I can't even tell people.
So you've
They'll simply ban me. I can't even write it.
As well as in-person ability to report your experience as a person with lived experience.
Yeah, so other people can't even find out and protect themselves. And the doctor sure isn't going to tell them.
Yeah. You know, that rings so familiar when you say you're called dangerous. I, too, was called dangerous when I started mentioning human rights, when I started saying, you know, I don't think people should be locked up just for asking for help. Oh, no, they silenced me, called me delusional, re-diagnosed, pretty much the same as what you went through. As far as the re-diagnosis goes and claiming it's some underlying condition as soon as you start to speak out.
Yep. And it gets worse than that. I mean, it's not just the so-called mental health charities. It's not even just Amnesty International who ban and block and report you or whatever, and it's then Facebook organizations like Facebook will just remove you from their service. They'll just remove you from all the social media, whether it be on Twitter, and YouTube are starting to do the same thing too. So
those are all,
when it comes
those
to the
are all
internet,
going off your, those are all, those have all banned you?
Yeah. Pretty much. There's some that didn't, but in the end, Facebook just end up banning and removing. They removed me and banned me twice. I made two accounts, and in the end, they lock you out and ban you and remove you. And it's,
Wow. Yeah,
that's something that's going to get even worse. So even just, so they'll do it on behalf of, before the mental health charities or Amnesty International even have a chance to do that. Facebook, for example, by itself will do that alone by itself.
Facebook by itself. Yeah. That's
really
quite something.
Yeah, yeah. It's really bad. I mean, but at the very same time, obviously they take money from drug sponsors and the mental health charities that sponsored by the drug companies to push their drugs. They sponsor, they're on children's timelines on their, because children use the internet too, and these social media platforms and all of this stuff.
They do.
Children use this themselves, so they're advertising and pushing drugs to children, and the idea that they have that they're mentally unhygienic and have a disease and need to go and seek drugs from the drug pusher, doctor or psychiatrist. They're pushing drugs on them right on the internet, and a lot of these to all the kids on the internet, and their parents don't necessarily know this, but yes, they're pushing at the same time as removing the people trying to warn people about it, and especially kids. It's really cruel to harm kids in this way. At the same time as removing me, so they maim me and remove me. And they push drugs to kids on their while they're just trying to use their private internet to children.
I have noticed that once they harm somebody and they have done it, they're responsible, and I have personal experience with this, they start to get extremely cruel.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you're a monster. They've damaged you, and all of a sudden, in the public's eye, because you're speaking out about the damage, and in the eye of the, you know, established psych, you're dangerous. They damage you, and then they're calling you dangerous. But they're dangerous.
I know. How dare they? I know this is the typical thing. People
like,
self-police.
What is the word for it? When you're something and you accuse the other person of it. There's a Freudian word for that. Yeah.
Projecting. Is it like projecting?
They're projecting. Projecting. They know they've harmed,
yeah,
and so they will just abuse you worse.
Yep. They'll pull out all the stops. Them self-mental health policing. And they'll be really, really cruel. And some of these people are adults that weren't, I mean, I was 9 years old when I was kidnapped from school by this mental health state and thrown in padded cells and being on drugs. I know the farcical of all this psychology bullcrap talk. I know it's just a evil global scam farcical. That kills real people and injures and maims and destroys the lives of real people that no one has the right to do that to from 9 years old. So a lot of these people are just adults that have no experience of this, don't know it. And those are the people self-mental health policing and cutting you out and cutting you down and insulting you with really derogatory language and words and insults or whatever. How dare they? What position are they in to do that? But
they don't like it when we talk,
because
if we talk, we get them in trouble.
Yeah, they should be in trouble. It shouldn't be me. It wasn't my crime. I didn't do this when I was 9 years old. It was their crime. They did it, not me. Why should I pay for it? Why should I suffer every day? Why should I be in torture every day till the day I get off this planet? That's not how I planned to live. That wasn't the plan choice I had for my life. How dare they have the right to destroy my life like this? Why don't they have to live with the damage that they caused? Why me?
What you just said, that needs to go public. That just needs to get blasted all over. You were harmed. And they're torturing you instead. They're trying to silence you. But your voice needs to come out and be told. Their story needs to be told.
It's going to get worse. Well, I hope so. Well, I hope it doesn't. I hope I can get people like me can get our voices heard, and instead of the political persecution that we keep getting, I hope we get some form of political protection at some point along the way. Something happens, because it's only a matter of time before they start calling this. They've been pushing the word stigma with their drugs pushing mental health business, global promotion so much that the next step, I'm pretty sure, is they're going to try and make it a crime, an actual hate crime, to criticize it, despite the fact that they maimed you, injured
they've
you, and destroyed your
that.
Life.
They've already done that. They've locked people up for speaking out. Certainly, they've done that for decades. They don't call it that, though. Yeah, if
but
they make it an actual
they
crime.
They can add a whole other layer of hate crime onto it.
Mm.
There's a whole nother level of hate crime, legal silencing that they can still further add on to this. And then, I don't know that. Then, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody who should really research. You should know what anybody should look up the Eugenic Society, and you should know what it is and who was in it. And who the key members of the Eugenic Society were, because they have helped set up a lot of global systems that govern a lot of people's lives today. And one of them was mental health. And if you ever seen the movie 1984, Brave New World, the guy, the brother, the son of the president of the Eugenic Society, wrote the book and movie Brave New World. Might be well worth watching that, because there's nobody that resists in that movie. It's a world set up where everybody takes the drugs that they call soma pills, and there is no power for it. Nobody can resist at that point. There is no resistance then. And the guy who wrote that book, his dad was the president of the Eugenics Society. So this is something that people should know. And I hope that path can be averted, because what's happening to me is beyond cruel and torture and hell. And it's, I hope that path can be averted somehow.
Yeah, you keep on talking about it, and it's bound to eventually, your story is, I mean, we're exposing them right now, and I get a fair amount of listeners, so, you know, I assume it will be shared. What you're saying now is will be shared, and what I hope is for your story to just get blasted all over, because it is really terrible torture what they've done to you, and what they've done to all these people you have interviewed. How many total have you interviewed?
So far, I've probably interviewed, I don't know, possibly 15 people, maybe.
15, yeah.
Not a lot, but I don't have the time to, and I have a bunch of psych drug damage, which includes eye disease and stuff, which makes doing this stuff already quite trying and difficult.
Yeah.
So I could do more, but I'm seems it's up to me in this really messed up state to be one of the most people won't reveal their identity for a start, and I've chosen to break the rule that shouldn't be broken and out my own identity. But
so may I ask what was that like when you came out like that? Because people are thinking of writing books that they're scared to. They don't know whether to write under a pseudonym. What was it like coming out with it?
It was scary, but I've got no way of fighting back. I've got no way of regaining my life. I've got no way of fighting back. And I definitely, I don't know whether will I have to die if people know, because it's so shameful. I am a man, and that's emasculated, degrading to a man. You're not a man. So, but I figure in some way I've got nothing to lose in some way. So I heard someone else say about another story on another radio program where someone rang in and said the doctors, they had a seizure after they had a vaccination, their child had a seizure. Mm. And the doctors there, they thought it was a bit fishy what the doctors were saying and doing about it and stuff. And the radio host said, well, your child, you know, isn't going to recover from this fully. The only thing you can do now is tell people about it. I don't know. I'm always someone that goes against the rules of what you're meant to do, because it makes no it's in some ways it's not very logical to destroy your own life even further, but somebody's got to do something, and somebody's got to do something, so I took the blow. Maybe I took a blow for the team.
They say that it takes a certain type of person to blow the whistle. It takes, they did some study, not that their studies are valid, but they did profiles of people who were whistleblowers, who had made the decision to come out with their story, and they found certain personality traits are prominent in those people. I can only guess which ones. you aren't afraid to speak out, for one thing, and for another thing, a desire to warn other people. I mean, I don't think you're doing this so much as retaliatory as a desire to get the story out so that no other person will be harmed.
Yeah.
Whistleblowers are usually benevolent people who want to help others, and that's why they blow the whistle on wrongdoing.
Yeah, I don't want this to happen to anyone else. I mean, it's hard to even want to wish this upon the people that did it to me, let alone the rest of the thousands of unsuspecting people and children that this is going to happen to when I'm trying to warn people, but the doctors are going to do this and not tell them and not going to warn them. And this is going to happen to more and more people unnecessarily when it doesn't have to. This is going to happen to thousands of more people unnecessarily, and it doesn't have to. It's unnecessary. It doesn't have to happen to more people.
And we won't even know about most of them.
No,
because
we won't know about most.
Chances are they're not going to say anything. And there may be people in the listening audience right now who've been affected. What kind of advice would you give to somebody who's already been affected and may or may not still be on the drugs, but they've already been affected? What would you say to that person as some kind of helpful advice if they're feeling lost and upset and emasculated, for in the case of a man?
Well, in some ways, it's very hard to be around other people. I mean, that's not necessarily something that's going to come back being okay, being around other people that weren't chemically castrated and demasculated. But exercise does, and maybe playing sport or exercise might help you get through some of this. Report it, even though the drug regulating agencies report it to those agencies anyway, even though they're funded by the drug companies, report it to RXIS, can get involved in the studies that we're trying, and the foundation and stuff that we're trying to put money into finding our own solution, so we don't have to die like this. Finding our own
solution, wherever that
comes from.
David Healy was saying he's offering money, or somebody through David Healy is offering a reward if anybody can find a cure for this.
Yeah, there's a number of PTSD things going on at the moment which may provide hope. And it's definitely better than, so it could be worth pursuing, that we might be able to come back to life one day. And one of them is the RXISK.org study from Dr. Healy. He thought of a plan that people, we're raising money, which we're over a quarter of the way there already, for $100,000. As a prize for anybody, whether they be a herbalist or a pharmacist or whoever they are, to come up with a solution that's, you know, if not as close as to a cure as possible, that's demonstrated to be safe. That's not what the drug companies do. Obviously, the drug companies benefit from making people sick, so they can sell them more drugs. But this is a prize made by us, so someone else can come along and provide a genuine, helpful solution, if possible. Hopefully that money will raise that. Dr. David Healy thinks that, who runs that adverse effect charity, RXISK, thinks that this will also... that person would also pretty much be bang on to win a Nobel Prize as well, which is a very rare thing to get. So
you would think
there's not just the money incentive.
On the
there are other studies.
Yeah. And Viagra's selling on the street.
If you go to the PSSD forum.
Ah, where is that?
The PSSDforum.com is... There's a few things. We're in the process of setting up a foundation at the moment, There's also a study in the University of Ulm, Germany. We need more people to sign up to that and take part in that. And then maybe we'll provide some kind of, because the doctors aren't going to do this, so we're having to do this and organize this ourselves.
How would you find out about the study? Anybody out there, how would they find out about the study?
If you go on pssdforum.com and you look up the search for the Germany Ulm University study, or post a message asking about it, someone will point you in that direction. If you sign up for it, that's what we're needing, more people. And then we can establish under, because you we'll establish that the condition exists under certain medical tests. Because at the moment, if you go to your doctor, they'll just say you're crazy and they won't even refer you for the test that you need to be to establish that this is a real damage. So so that will help establish it as something that's real, the Germany study. And there's also another one in the University of Milan that people are trying to get together. And I think they will be testing I'm not quite sure what exactly neurosteroid levels on possibly on rats, because they did this to rats before they did it to us humans. So they're looking at trying to reverse that, but we need to, we're also trying to set up a foundation as well so we can support that, because nobody else is going to support this kind of thing. We have to do it ourselves with resistance and all, and lack of awareness. And
it sounds like you've made a lot of headway with that, at least, and maybe not necessarily with Facebook, but still, it looks like you've made progress getting Healy to do that and getting these studies going and publicizing them.
The studies aren't going yet, but we're hoping, thank God that. None of the pharmacology people ever are interested in helping or establishing, acknowledging that it happened. Or so for David Healy to try and think of a solution as well. It is, hopefully that will. That helps in a world where no one is willing to do that.
That's amazing. It's good that you have his, he's got money, of course, and behind him, and there's a lot of people that pay attention to that risk site. It's rxisk.org.
And there's a prize, on the tabs, one of them's called prize. There's a prize page which explains how far away we are from the total for that one. Other information on PSSD and, the whole, there's quite
great
things on there, fair depth of some of that project.
Okay, we have about a minute and a half left. Daryl, it's been fantastic having you on.
Thank you.
I'm very glad that you came on and talked about this, and we got this out in the open. And I hope that listeners somehow can be warned that this is what's going to happen, that this could happen from these drugs while you're still on them. And getting off of them reverse it.
Nope. If it may not happen, these kind of things, that mental health is coming after everybody, global mental health, and these things might not happen to you, but they're going to get you. If they don't get you, they're going to get someone you know and someone close to you. They're going to get your nephew, your child. Spread the word.
For sure. I think everybody out there in the listening audience knows somebody who was deeply affected even if it was reversible, it deeply affects you.
Yeah, it's bad enough when it's reversible. I mean, what a nightmare if you manage to escape this, but for when it's permanent, irreversible maiming in the worst ways, then that's even worse, and it seems it might be pretty common.
Daryl, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. We're at the end, and I want to have you on again. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, that would be brilliant. Thank you. Can I make a plea that people trying to get the word out? If anybody that writes articles or is an author or is skilled at doing interviews or anything, you know, like all the help we can get in spreading awareness of this. Because
it's definitely
becoming near impossible to do that.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you. And this is the end of the episode of the Julie Mad Blogger Show. This has been Daryl talking about PSSD. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you, everyone.